All right, so I've got as much as anything else a conversation I'd like to have, especially with the group looking out and seeing who's here. This is a perfect group for what I've got today. It's a summary. It's not a summary. It's just some values. And I'll go through what we've done, but it's a fun data set that we just kind of started bringing in and looking at. And I kind of want to present to you as a group, here's some initials. Let's beat this up and see where it can go from there. So real quickly, and I had this just because I knew some people would be in the audience that's familiar with this picture. I acknowledge that the variability of our nutrients and soils is exceptionally high. And I've been in lots of conversations about, you know, grid sampling and the components and the validity of grid sampling across phosphorus and other nutrients and spatial interpretation and all that good stuff. So those conversations I've had on nausea. But I'll tell you, in Oklahoma, grid sampling has really come into play. It's not for our nutrients, it's for lime. The interest in Oklahoma is variable rate lime application in moderate yielding wheats, the 40 to 60 bushel wheat ranges, plus or minus, in fields. And so that's where it's coming in at. And I looked at this as a question, I'm an extension specialist. You guys, a lot of you in here are extension, have that background. You get the question, what should I do with grid sampling? Should I do it? What resolution should I do it at? Where's the value at? How do I do it? And so trying to imagine, where do we come up with a recommendation or an answer to that, really started coming up to the ideas like, you know, I need to take advantage of the relationship I have with the producers in Oklahoma, because I have a decent relationship. Most of them will at least not hate me. And are good. So I started with about 3 years ago with a simple request that every extension meeting I went to that had anything to do with soil testing, I asked for their grid sample results. As simple as that. You know, share with me your grid sample results. We can come up with contracts. We can do this and otherwise. Actually started with John Deere and other large groups saying, hey, can we work to get your grid sample results? And I found out quickly that wasn't going to work. So I went straight to the producers. And, you know, I said, I don't care who it's from. You know, we've got Servitec, we've got Ward, A&L, you know, Midwest, all the labs, OSU, A&M, Kansas State, all the labs coming in. My goal was 500. This time I got 330 fields in the database. It runs from central Kansas down to the Red River. Eastern Oklahoma, I've got pasture, continuous wheat, wheat rotation, irrigated corn, sorghum, Bermuda grass, fescue, you name it, it's in this database. And so we're going through. The database right now consists of approximately 9,373 soil samples, individual soil samples. That's the exact number of soil samples we have. And what I have on this database, I don't have a lot of field information. I did not go to the producer saying, I want to know where you're at. My first request is, send me a data sheet with your soil test summaries. If I get this test result, and I put this up here for the reason, if I can have this test result, this sheet right here, that was my initial request. If they so happen to send the field map and trial locator and the sample locations and the other information, that was a bonus I would take. But I just wanted at first a sample analysis. And what it comes back is about, of the 330, probably about 250 of them, I do have the field map. Because what they do is they send the results. And the producers have these PDFs sent in their files, and they just send me their PDFs. Or because SST's in our backyard, most of our consultants regionally use that product, and it's a shareable product. They just share the producer with me. And so that means I have all the producer's yield, all the producer's soil tests, recommendations, and everything else for those fields, and they've gone into this. I've got to commend, I had a... Because I've gotten most of these fields, of the 330 fields, probably 290 came in as a PDF. So there was an undergraduate spending a significant amount of time doing copy and pasting and converting PDF to Excel. But that's what's happened. So an overview, and this is really why I'm coming with you. I'm just sharing the overview of what I got and see what we can do with the data. I think it's interesting. It's been some fun work. So looking at pH, I have 306 fields. So not every field has pH for some reason. Not every field has organic matter this. But of 306 fields, the average pH across those fields is a 5.99. And the range in a single field. So I'm looking at, if you look at the average ranges within field, every field min and max across all fields, the average range is about 1.9 units. And so that's, you know, we have an average of 6, which is good, plus or minus a unit. So 5 to 7. And that is the average of 309. My men, the field with the smallest, lowest pH is 4.6, and my highest average pH is an 8.2, giving you the range of those fields. Phosphorus. Now, this is, the soil scientists are going to kill me on this. This is just Malic 3 and Bray kind of additive together. I know there's that's not as right as it needs to be, but for this presentation, I just put the two together and did Malic 3 and Bray P1 as the same column down across. They're close enough. So the average PPM was 28.9. If you separate those out, Bray and Malic, it's the average Bray is a 29, and the average Malic is a 29, and the average Bray is about a 27 or 26. But the range of both is sitting in 54 PPM. So it's an average of 28 PPM with a range of 54 PPM. The lowest field was a 4, and the highest was a 92. K, we have 185 average PPM with a range of 190 PPM out of 313 fields. Organic matter is about a 1.7 with a range of 2. Calcium and magnesium. This is where I hit people. This is when I talk extension. This is what I focus on. It's like, look, our average is at that point in critical, if we're on sufficiency, so that at that point where we would be thinking about a decision in winter wheat in Oklahoma. A 40 bushel wheat producer is seeing a 28 ppm thinking, may or may not. Because 32.5 is our critical value. pH, a wheat farmer in Oklahoma that has a pH of 6 is celebrating. But this is a range, so it's that. The fun thing we can get in, we can break it out. So along with the request for soil samples, I requested state and county. That is the only location data I requested, is the county of origin and which state. And so I'm showing you by region, breaking it out by geographic region, but I can break this out and take it to any county in the state and show you, okay, I've got 25 fields from your county, here's what they look like, which is impactful on the extension side. We look at our regions, a 6, a 6.1, a 6.61, two units of change in both of those. This top corner tells you how many fields are within each region, 74, 150, 35, and I got 47 from Kansas. Kansas average pH of these fields is a 5.6 with a range of 6.1. Now, I'll tell you, Kansas, if you know the region, this is where I'm at in Kansas. Probably 50 of the 54 fields are in that Wichita region south of Salina, but between Wichita and Oklahoma over by Burlington, Kansas. Distribution of soil pH, if you look at all the fields, how they're distributed on the mean, field mean, it's fairly normal, but most of the fields are falling in that 5.5 to 5.9 range. If you look at phosphorus, we have the range of 31 up in our northwest heavy with a 31 average with rank 57 and a 20. This is where I'm talking about producers. You are getting a soil sample, composite soil sample, that has a good value. I don't care if it's a 32 or 35. You've got to understand the likelihood your range on that field is 45 to 60 ppm. Somewhere on that field you're deficient. Somewhere on that field you're high. Soil pH, you get a pH of 5.5, 5.6, and you're considering not doing anything, you've got to understand that field likely has a range of 2 units, so you've got a 4.5 somewhere on that field. Are you needing to make a decision? Are you needing to look at it further? Phosphorus distribution, we tail off there. This is just showing you what I can take to the producers and by county information. And we can break it down to that level. Our potassium in our region, potassium is high. But what we do find with this, one thing that it's interesting that I'm getting into further, is that in Oklahoma, for our wheat producers, we don't recommend a lot of potassium. It's just not something we do. But I can look at the number of fields that have X percentage of potassium deficiencies. And I'm getting into the numbers that there's a significant number of fields, 30 to 40% of our fields, that will have 20% of the field that has a K deficiency. How significant are those is something we're also looking at. But that's something we're coming up with and some interesting information. Organic matter. These are just some recent breaks. I broke up all the data into how many points fell below a critical level. So all this is saying, if the field average was a 5.5 to 6.0 pH, you know, how many of the points fell below a 6? How many of the points fell below a 5.5? Looking at those decision aids. Or that critical period, because This is where the sub-5-5 is where the decisions to apply is going to happen. So this goes back to trying to determine, can we come up with a decision aid tool that if a producer at least has a composite sample, at what point do we need to consider pulling the trigger for a grid sample for soil pH? Can we come up with a pH range that, you know, this is the magic range where a grid sample is going to likely pay off the best for variable rate lime? And a lot of what I came up with this is just what, and I'm not going to go into much, is that this data in most of these fields, I did skewness and kurtosis, most of these fields are normally distributed. On pH and phosphorus and potassium, we have normal distributions across the field. So if you have an average of 5, you've got the distribution around 5. And it's been pretty consistent. And most of those fields do fall within that range. So if it's a pH of 5, you've got a range of 2, and it's normally distributed around that 5. And there's a few outliers, but it's pretty consistent across the 300-plus fields in that way. I started with this. Part of this was just to prove to the companies I went to that I could get the data they said I couldn't get. There was a little bit of a challenge in there when they said I couldn't do it, so I did. And so getting all their producers' data was fun. But also just to see the magnitude of variability across our state. Did that. Determined the best ground to sample. Still figuring out the best way to quantify a decision aid tool on when to suggest a producer to do more intensive sampling and how to go about that. Where do we do it? How do we go about it? And then end up with that decision aid tool. What I wanted to come here today with anything is to start throwing this out here to this group specifically, and I apologize when I have to leave shortly after this to catch a plane, but you know, what are some ideas? I'm sitting in here with this data set that I don't really can't comprehend all the potential directions I can go. I've shared with economists, some modelers, and other people, and I just know that there could be some potential hidden within this data set to maybe do some really neat things. I'm kind of throwing it out there to the community and others to say, what ideas are there? I have data, I'm willing to travel. I appreciate that. There's all my contact info, and I appreciate all the partners in on this, Fertilizer Checkoff on the time and effort on this, and IP&I, Steve, back there supporting a lot of my work on this little effort here. Any questions in the final minute or two, or comments? I figure more comments than questions, Jim. No, I mean the comment about the where's the variability, what's the variability. I mean, one thing I tell you, we're in cattle country. I can tell you where they feed hay on every field that's ever been grid sampled. I can tell you the old homestead locations on every field. So yeah, the induced variability that's out there. Looking at on some of these things, can we go into regions? Say pick a county, pick some fields, and say can we find out what's the driver factor in the variability of the pH? One thing that's nice, there's another set of this data that's not in here, the 330 fields. I've probably got 50 historic yield data where the farmer shared everything on all of it. So some of it's been applied on only the initial soil test is in this report, but I've got 3 to 4 soil testing grid sampling after variable rate lime. And we don't do much variable rate phosphorus. It is a variable rate lime in our territory and nothing else. And so that's something I want to dig into is that after variable rate lime, what are things looking like and as we move down on that?
Let's thank Brian. Thank you.